is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Amen. Today we'll continue on with the power of the Word. Only today we're talking about the power of His Word, not ours. Last week we looked at our words. And this week we're going to look at His words and His Word. And this will be an easy one to start out with. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you struggle finding that, let me know and we're going to get you into a basic Bible study class. But Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Chapter 1, it's the first chapter in that book. And verse 1, it's the first verse in that chapter. There's no better place to start than there when we talk about the power of the Word. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's powerful in itself. But the next verse says, then God said, the power of His Word. Then God said, let there be light, and what? And there was light. And then it goes on in verse 6 and says, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the earth. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters, which were from above. And it was so. And so we go on in the first couple chapters of Genesis. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image. Verse 29, and God said, so we go on in the first, and then chapter 2 says the same thing. Has different verses in verse 18, and God said. So the first couple chapters, we have 9, 10, almost a dozen references to what God spoke. And then what became? God said, let there be, and there was. God said, it is not good for man to be alone, so He made a partner. A dozen times. Now that's power. When we think about our words, and Adam said, let there be a plant right there. It didn't work. But I guarantee if God said, let there be a plant would be there. So He has power over our power of our words. We can speak life and death into people when we use our words. God also can speak life and death into people. Now in chapter 2, verse 16, if we refer back there, it says, we read that God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Of every tree you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And why did He say that? He says, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's a pretty good warning. My children, do not stick your fingers in the outlets. Why? For you shall surely die, perhaps, if you do that. As parents, we give warnings to our children. You can eat all this stuff. You can put your finger in a piece of bread. Son, you can put your finger in some Play-Doh. You can poke it in my fat belly. I don't care. Don't put your finger in here or you will surely die. You can have all this. All this is yours, but not that tree. For when you do, or if you do, you will die. Now think, where there's good, usually the enemy is hanging out nearby, right? I hate to say it, but we always have to be on guard. 1 Peter 5:8. Peter's writing a letter to the churches in Asia Minor, current day Turkey. And has to travel a long distance. And he's trying to tell them many things. And a couple of the things that he tells them is, I need you to submit yourself. Church, submit yourself, he's telling them. I wrote down to who, and then I changed it to whom. And then I thought, well, I don't know, but to who or to whom, whichever it is, and you can let me know later. He says, submit yourselves to the elders. We submit ourselves to the authority of the church. But who else did he say submit to? Submit to one another. And I think we find that hard every now and then and say, wait, I've got to submit to him or her or them. Or submit yourselves to your elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, younger people. They woke up, all right. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And it says, be clothed in humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But here's the warning that luckily we got later in the Bible. You'd think if God told you not to eat something or do something, you'd get it. But here it says, be sober in chapter 5, verse 8 of 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. And then he tells us how to fight that enemy. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We submit ourselves, but we have to watch out for the enemy wandering around. Now flip over to Genesis chapter 3. We always have to be aware when there is a warning or someone telling us to guard against this, that means there's danger ahead. In Genesis chapter 3, well, we'll just start in verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now that sounds good. Think about it. When we have friends that come up and say, hey, we have the opportunity to go do this. We've got a better tree we can go eat from. And if you look over there, it's good. And we do our best to stand on our Christian guard and say, that's not right. I know that's not good. Usually, our friends will have something to come back. And here's what our friends, the serpents, say. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. What's it going to hurt you to drink this, to smoke this, to do this, to go here, to go there, to drive this fast, to drive without your seatbelt? You haven't died yet without it, have you? Whatever it is, you will not surely die. Please. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, the enemy usually puts a nice shiny spin on the end of it. I agree. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And that's where many of us slip. Well, I can justify it here, here, and here. But I can justify it doing things that God told me not to do. But surely my friends are wiser than Almighty God. Because they told me, yeah, but it's good. Yeah, but God, yeah, but two of my friends told me it was good. There's only one God. What does He know? What does He know? She took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her. Uh-oh. Now we've shared our goodness that's bad with our friends also, as they shared it with us. And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now all of a sudden, everything that was pure and innocent became twisted and different. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now think about it. There's people that are doing wrong. Many times they try and hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. And they think, if we don't go to church, we'll hide from God. And then He won't see us, and neither will the church people. And they won't know of the bad that we're doing. Generally speaking, when people slip away from church, they're slipping into sin or something a little deeper. Now, other times, no, I'm sorry, I was about to categorize sin, and we can't do that. I'll say other times it may not be a deep sin, but it is. Laziness is a sin. And that may be a sin that just sucks them down into the bed. And they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. And God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" God knew immediately what happened. "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with, she gave it to me and I ate." Now, I don't want anyone pointing fingers here, but how many times did you get in trouble? And I'll share my own confession here in a minute. And you said, "They did it," or "They made me do it." No poking at family members or anything, or spouses or whatever. Now, I've tried that before. I have a twin brother. Wasn't me. It was the one that looked just like me. He did it. But do you see how Adam immediately said, how coincidental, huh? Adam said, "She gave it to me. And by the way, remember, you gave her to me." And some of us would try and justify and say, "God, surely it was a sign from you. You gave me her, she gave it to me. I thought it was from you as well." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast in the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." Now think about his words. When he said it, it became, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you. He didn't forget old innocent Adam, because he wasn't innocent. He said, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Man, we're just out of the gate in the beginning, and we already ran into trouble. So I don't know why we think thousands of years later we would be any different and have this perfect life. From the beginning, we're just in chapter 3 of the beginning of man, and already tripped up. You see, God's word, his spoken word, his written word, God's word shines a light inside of each one of us. In the deepest areas, think about the surgeries they do, and they can send scopes and cameras down arteries and veins and different things, minute little things, to get a look and see what's going on inside of us. God said, yeah, I created that thousands of years ago, by the way. And I use it. And I use it on each one of you to look inside of you. You see, when I shine my light inside of you, I find your innermost thoughts. Your intentions are hidden from others there, but I see it. Your motives. You're telling them one thing outside, but inside, I'm seeing your innermost thoughts, and your motives are different. And your actions. Let's look at a familiar verse in James. And as we turn to James, James chapter 1, I want to read out of Hebrews. So if you're taking notes, just write down Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And I want to read this while you go to James chapter 1. And I read this several months ago in a message I did, but this specifically pertains to this as well. And it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. Doesn't matter what age you are, the word of God, for you young people here and here, and the rest of us that aren't as young as those groups, it is living and it is powerful to you. And you guys at your young age have the ability as well to speak life or death into people. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of your thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, it's that light that God gets inside the innermost parts of us. It says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. You see, everything we do is exposed to him, but we've got to stand before him and give an account. What a wonderful time we had Friday, speaking of Miss Dorothy, and being able to stand up here and say, man, I never heard a cross word from her. I never heard her talk negatively about people. Oh, and by the way, the things that she had, she was so thankful for. but you didn't hear her complain about the things she didn't have. I just imagine her standing before God, ready to give an account, and he's going, "Miss Dorothy, I know you. Come on. Just come on through. We've already done a check. We've been working on you a long time, Miss Dorothy, and you're good. There was minimal fire when your work went through the fire. There was minimal damage there." You see, because nothing was hidden from him. And her motives and her actions were pure. What we saw here at church was what Phyllis and Mark and Jan got to see at home, and the grandkids and the great-grandkids and the great-great-grandkids. Because that was who she was. Now in James chapter 1, again, another very familiar verse, in verse 21. And this is one of my favorite things because it reminds us to always stay connected and always be doing something for the Lord. And it says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word." But listen to this. It says, "Which is able to save your souls." I mean, it's one thing to say, "Hey, just receive the word." I've received it, Adam. Okay, but do you understand the power of the word? It is able to save your souls. You see, when we speak to other people and we tell them about Jesus Christ and we invite them to come experience Him and His love, maybe through us, what we tell others about Him has the ability to save their soul. Us being a witness for Him, it's bigger than ourselves being uncomfortable talking to somebody about it. It's the ability to save people's lives. Now that's His word. Not the words we speak, but the words we speak are conveying that. Verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers. Because when you're just hearers of the word, you deceive yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself in the mirror, he goes away, and he forgets what kind of man he was. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I haven't even got to the good stuff. "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart," this one's religion is what? Useless. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Do not be overcome by what? The world. I got to say, when I looked at this, I thought, again, powerful words from God. Up in the top in verse 21, it says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The ability right there. But then a few verses later, he says, "By the way, if you say you're churchy and religious and stand there claiming that, but you can't bridle your tongue or your actions, your religion is useless. It's of no value to me," he's saying. don't represent me or my business falsely to other people. Bridle that tongue. That stuff is a transaction and not a relationship. Again, when you have a relationship, it's transforming. You can't help but be transformed by that. Now, I watched a movie over the weekend. It wasn't a Hallmark movie, which, thank goodness, but might as well have been. And a man's wife left him. And he was talking to his sister. He said, "Man, I miss her. I loved her." Sister said, "No, you didn't. She was sleeping with another man for a year and you didn't know it." Thank you, Adam. What does that have to do with the church? You are sleeping with whatever else, your sin, and you don't know it. God says, "You need to come back to me. Don't tell me you love me, but you have no idea what's going on in the other half of your relationship. Because we're asleep. Because we're caught up in our sin. Don't tell me you love me in word and then not do anything to support it." Eric said, "We don't beat you guys up over giving." I said, "Unless it's talking about disobedience. But to be a vital, active member of this church, you attend. You pray for us and with us and over us. As leaders, as a church body, you give faithfully. You fellowship with us. You serve with us." "Don't tell me you love me," he says, and then have no idea what's going on in that relationship. And by the way, the fact that the husband comes home every night, he still has no idea what's going on in the relationship. The fact that you're here means nothing to God if you're not doing those other things. He says, "You will study my word, you will get to know it. We have opportunities through Sunday school, through Wednesday night Bible study, through external connect groups." He said, "You will find a way to study my word. You can do it on your own, but it's going to be tough. Find a group to get with to help you grow." He says, in giving, we are able to help others. We are able to serve others at the rate that you are giving to us. Is prayer really working, Adam? I don't know. How much time have you spent in it? And what evidence do you see? We have opportunities Sunday morning and Wednesday night to pray as a group, with a group. But there's opportunities for the whole rest of the week to pray anytime you would like. For anyone and anything. God's word does say, by the way, try and keep it in the will of God so it can happen. But if not, I can just tell you no anyway. But keep it praying the will of God. These things aren't just to make us feel good. These things are to make us stronger. Make our roots deeper. When those storms come, what generally is snapped in half? The stiff, unbending things. The wind can't take it and snaps it. But the flexible things that are able to sway and move in the wind, they generally will stay. Miss Dorothy said that in the video that we showed. The last thing was an excerpt of a recording. And she said, "Things will be hard and things will come against you. But tomorrow the sun will shine again. And God's Word says that as well. He says, I will take your sorrow and turn it to joy. For in the morning I will bring joy. And by the way, when the sun starts getting dim again, he says, what? My mercies are new every day. Don't tell God I love you and have no relationship with him. Don't tell him I love you. I'm just coming home each Sunday, but I don't know what's going on in our relationship, God. As we talked last week about the power of our word, you don't have to raise your hand. You certainly can if you want. Did anyone repent for actions they've done in the past? I did. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I did. And that's hard. Did anyone go out and seek forgiveness from somebody? I did. And it was hard. And then it reminded me of something else and I had to do it again. I thought, oh, dang, I'd almost forgot about that. Lord, come on. And I had to make a call. And I had to talk to somebody. And I had to say, I didn't mean to hurt you. I never intentionally mean to hurt anyone. I may have hurt most of you. I don't know. And I apologize if I did, but I would never do it intentionally. But I thought, I came across rather stern. And I had to apologize and seek forgiveness. And it was one of those things, don't worry about it. Well, I didn't, but then God told me, probably better say something. Or did we just get convicted last week and move on and go through our daily business? Whew, that was a powerful message, Adam. Whew, it was good stuff, Adam. And I know some of you made a conscious change and did those things. But did some of you just sit and receive that word and then just move on? Say, I'm not doing that. God was just talking about you. God resists the what? God resists the proud. Humble yourself. Submit yourselves to who? The elders and the others. Submit yourselves. I don't want to walk out of here with God looking at you going, your religion is useless. The power of God's word has to take first place. So it can transform you, so it can change you, so that it can heal your brokenness, your bitterness, your anger, whatever it is. His word can transform you. But it's not just by reading it, sometimes by reading it and then doing what it says. You may have to drop something off somewhere. You may have to go through a painful thing and seek forgiveness from someone. Or you may have to forgive someone that you really don't want to. God, this person ruined my life. He says, yeah, I know. I know. By the way, that guy on the road that I struck with a bright light, probably killed some of your relatives, may have bound some of them up and taken them off to jail for believing in Jesus Christ. But you see, I chose that guy and I transformed him so that he can show every one of you that if he can transform that guy, he can transform you. That's the power of God's word. I'm going to ask two things as we close in prayer. And it's simple. Two questions. Who wants transformation? And then the other question is, you may say, I'm raising my hand, I don't want it. Thank you, Adam, for the kicker question. Who needs transformation? Oh, crap. Oops, I said that word. I figure if Dr. Johnson used it, I can use it, right? But you may think, oh, doggone it. How's that? Okay? It's that simple. And that's just for you to submit to God. You're not submitting to me. It's just giving you that boldness to say, yeah, I do need it. Let's bow our heads as we close today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your powerful word. Lord, we thank you for the ability to freely, just as they could freely roam in the garden and eat of any tree, we thank you for the ability to freely assemble and study your word. Lord, today our question is simply, who wants transformation? And if that's you, all I want you to do is raise your hand so I can pray for that transformation. You will have to do it on your own, but I just simply want to pray. Keep your hands up if you would. Lord, for those with their hand up, I ask you to begin that relationship with them. To give them boldness to step out in whatever direction they need to take for that next step in their faith journey. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we pray for them, I now ask for those that haven't raised their hand, who needs transformation that may not want it but knows they need it? Who has the boldness to do that? Raise your hand, please. Thank you. Lord, I know this is difficult, and I thank you for those hands that are up. Lord, we are praying for transformation in our church body right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now. We ask you to fill this place today. Fill this room right now. You are welcome here. You are invited here. We need your presence to transform these lives. God, give them boldness. Those that said, I need transformation. Those that said, I want transformation. Lord, draw those two groups together to understand those that need it but may not want it. Help them. Desire to want it. Lord, as we leave here today, I don't want anyone leaving here today thinking that their religion is useless. Lord, I ask you just to bring repentance into their lives. I ask for that relationship to begin where they've had knowledge. We ask for a deeper commitment and a deeper relationship where we don't say we know God, but He says, I know them. Lord, as we go out this week, protect us, keep us safe. Lord, help guide our actions that they would honor you and glorify you and please you. Lord, help guide our tongues. Allow us to speak when we should speak with boldness, yet we're afraid. Allow us to hold our tongue when we want to speak, but you say you should be silent. Give us that discernment, Lord, to know the difference. Lord, where our tongue is sharp and bitter, Lord, would you soften it and smooth it? Where our words can comfort and encourage one another and bring joy to one another. Lord, this includes those we know and don't know. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.